Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Hey, UK Bills Mafia. This is Christian Wade of your Buffalo Bills. This is the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast with your hosts, Matt and Alex. Let's go, Buffalo! Woo!
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues, UK Bills podcast, Bills news with a UK twist. It's Matt and Alex here to talk about the 6-2 Buffalo Bills. Alex, how you doing? How you feeling?
Does it feel like that?
Yeah. Either way, it's on the record.
It is 6-2. I mean, it's a heart attack of a game. You know, Gabe Davis drops a catch that could have cemented it. You know, you and I didn't talk much pre-game. I was under the weather, so I didn't participate in that, and we didn't talk much either. I mean, what were your expectations going into this game?
Well, regardless of the score, a win.
How you win is so important, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather be a win like this game where we've got a bit to talk about, whether it be just talking shit about how bad this defense is, what goes wrong, rather than us blow them out 43-7 or something like that and not have much to talk about.
No, I'll take the blowout in a 5-minute post-game show, okay?
True.
I mean, we don't make money off this, so it doesn't matter how long this video is and how many views we get, okay? The Jets game, though, is weird because that game has a lot to do with this game. We beat the Jets easily, but we didn't score a touchdown. I think that if we would have scored maybe 2 or 3 times in the Jets game, we would have felt better going into this game. And then in this game, the offense stumbles here and there. We could run, but we couldn't pass. The defense essentially stopped them, but couldn't stop the run in the second half. It's just, you know, where's the complete game from this 6-2 team? I mean, aside from the Eagles, we're the worst, best team in the NFL in terms of, you know, like, because they're leading their division. But, I mean, name another team that, you know, the Bears too. So the Eagles, the Bears, and the Bills are the three worst, best teams in the NFL. Because those three teams have either are winning their division, have a winning record, or but they all have a negative point differential. And that really bothers me, having a negative point differential and being 6-2.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Really? It doesn't bother you. I'm very intrigued.
Oh, no. I mean, at the end of the day, as I say, football is football. You can only play what's in front of you. I mean, we got beaten up by a bunch of no-name receivers.
I wouldn't say beaten up. I mean, we held Cam to under 200 yards, right?
Well, yeah, but he actually managed to make plays to those no-name receivers that actually got them that close. So, yeah, I agree. The defense needs to be woken up, and I'm just now trying to figure out, is it Leslie Frazier? Does McDermott need to take back over the calling? Is Leslie Frazier not calling the right games here and there? That's where I'm starting to head on there, and how it can actually be righted. I mean,
yeah.
In the preview show, I said that this has to be, last week was a get half right, end up being a get half right game. This one should have been your get right game. Now,
yeah,
you see some of it. You see some of it come together. The way the offense actually did start to get moving a little bit. So obviously, I'm
on the ground, not in the passing game.
Well, sort of. Yeah, I mean, they managed to get a few bits in there. The interception was on Diggs. He's come out and said that that's on him. He didn't make made the wrong cut at the wrong time. So that one, I'm not putting the interception down on on Allen. Obviously, the Davis one,
it's weird on the Allen interception, because all season I've been on Allen for holding onto the ball just a second too late. And this was a throw where he was anticipating the receiver break. He was like, the second Diggs turned around, the ball was there, but Diggs turned around the wrong way. So it's just like with Allen, it's just like the second he does what I want him to do, something else goes wrong. It just seems like every time this team fixes something that we've been bothered by, they mess up something else that seemed fine. So here we have a game where we win. Allen throws under 20 times. That would indicate a game that's been controlled, correct? Our running game did fantastic. Allen was able to get decent plays via the passing game to set up touchdowns. So everything kind of seems to have worked there. But at the same time, the game was close and we couldn't get that, like, maybe we just because we didn't need to, but it's just like, you look at the box score. Let's say someone didn't watch the game. They look at the box score and they're like, oh, Allen kind of blew it again. You know, it's just tough because I hate having so much to complain about a 6-2 team. I mean, our group chat, our fantasy football group chat, which you're in, just there's so much just passion for being negative.
Yeah.
It's really tough to be in. Because a few years ago, I would have been right there. I'd be like, this is the shittiest 6-2 team ever. But I'm really trying to hold on to any semblance of hope. I mean, it's win and you're in, right? 6-2, really good looking division, you know, not clinching game, because we got another one against Miami coming up that I think is going to be really important. Playoffs are on the table for this team, and that's all you got to do is win and get in, right? I just want to look better.
Three wins and you're in. So three wins out of the remaining schedule sees us in the playoffs, whether it be depending on no matter what seed, three wins in the remaining games will seal that spot. So I can't see.
You really don't think Miami can?
No.
No?
I can't. As much as they beat the Rams, didn't they?
Yeah.
Even so, I think that was littered with errors from the Rams. Right here, I mean, Goff, he threw a couple of interceptions in that game.
And, I mean, we've shown to be able to handle Miami. So.
Yeah. I think there is slight worry about it. Miami have actually come up and actually done well and actually have started to come back from that poor start. Now, obviously, with Tagovailoa actually coming in. It's going to give an extra dimension to him. But
I mean, he played like a rookie today. He had under 100 passing yards, but they really didn't need him, you know?
Exactly. So, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's a get-right game for this offense, and it was mainly, in fact, due to Feliciano being back that we're able to get that run game going.
Yeah.
I mean, my only gripe with it was when Morse went out, they had Ryan Bates in for that series that led to Moss's touchdown. Take him out of the game completely, and for the rest of that half and for a little bit of the third quarter, we struggled. We struggled to get a running game going. I think if Morse is out, or even with Morse in, I think it would be, if we keep Winters away, maybe even try Ryan Bates at guard. If not, have Bates at guard, Feliciano, Bottiger, Dawkins and Williams, and that's your front five settled until Ford comes back. Then you just switch out Botker for Ford.
I don't know about Botker. Like, I don't know, between him and like Winters, it's just really tough for me to want any one of those guys in the lineup. You know, I want to talk about Bean later about how he built depth on this team. I mean, but yeah, we'll get to that. But honestly, we're 6-2, and we started off this show pretty down. Let's talk about what went well, and that's the running game. In just the game ball to Feliciano, right? Because what he was able to do, running to the left side, he was the man making holes for Singletary and Moss. And both Singletary and Moss were able to make the right cuts. Great vision. I mean, just make guys miss. It was just fantastic. That was how they built this offense. That's what they expected. McDermott and Bean were like, we have two guys who can do two separate things, and if they both do what they need to do, we should win a football game. And that's what happened today.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think I put Moss. I drafted Moss in one of my fantasy leagues.
Yeah.
I think I benched him for someone. I don't know who. And he's gone off and scored about 80 yards and two touchdowns. Yeah. I'm pissed. If that if that loss loses me that game, I'm gonna be pissed. But
well, this isn't a fantasy show, so good thing we're not gonna spend too much time talking about this.
But yeah, no, it's good to see it, and I mean, maybe with Ford back or whenever we get him back, it'll open it up a bit more. I mean, mm-hmm. we've got the front five; it just depends now how badly concussed Moss is, because we know he has a history. Right. I think that's his like fifth concussion in 6 years or something like that. And once you're someone like that having that many concussions, you can safely say that you've got to consider your health in there and what how are the Bills going to then manage on the offensive line without Moss in there. But
we got the bye week coming up in 2 weeks, but unfortunately these two games coming up are really important. They're NFC games, so they're not like that important in terms of, you know, playoff seeding, because that tiebreaker is much lower. It's just you know, I said I wanted to talk about the good, and we briefly talked about the good. Do you have anything else good to talk about?
Well, how well, obviously right at the end, Justin Zimmer. I mean, since he's come into the squad, he's actually really stepped up and actually and obviously made the crucial play right at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a little bit of a, well, yeah, that's probably the only positive really you can have on that.
I know, right?
On that defense is how he has actually improved and earned himself a roster place. I mean,
yeah. I would say Jerry Hughes had a really good game too. I mean, we constantly had pressure on Cam. It's just one of the biggest issues that I have with this defense is the fact that guys aren't making the first tackle often, so continually. They're getting an arm on a guy, or they're just bouncing off dudes. I mean, so often Damien Harris was met in the backfield or 1 or 2 yards past the line of scrimmage, and he still went for 11. Klein just overcommitting, taking horrible angles. You know, Milano got his ankles broken a few times. It's just, I mean, the injuries have hit us, and it's showing. The depth isn't there. The discipline isn't there. I mean, we got saved by a bit. I mean, penalties were pretty even. It's just that this defense, man, I saw some people in our UK Bills chat talk about, you know, where's Trey White been? You know, even though he doesn't, the interceptions, it's a good thing we're not talking about Trey White, right?
Yeah, I mean, he did. When his name's not called, means you're doing well.
Yeah,
I think
not throwing to his side, so he's doing his job right. I mean,
it's good that Levi Wallace is back, because again, you didn't barely hear his name called unless he was making a tackle.
Yeah,
on there.
Oh my God, Taron Johnson again. Taron Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, this is where we obviously I'm now and Cam Lewis now being on. On IR, I can't remember if he's on the designated to return or not. If he is, we've got 2 weeks him.
You need him.
2 weeks more of him by a week and bring him back. He'll be that slot guy in there unless they feel like they can want to give Dane Jackson a run out in the slot.
I'd rather anybody than Taron Johnson, honestly. I mean, Dane Jackson had a good game last week, so let's get him in there. You know, people are clamoring for Epinesa to be on the field more. I think he could have helped in containing Cam Newton, but this defense, this coaching staff, and I really want to talk about the coaching staff more than anything, because, I mean, first off, the question is it personnel or is it coaching that's hurting this defense? But in term to argue for the coaching staff being the issue, I mean, when it mattered most, I think at the on the Patriots game tying drive to make it, you know, what would they get? We were in dime and nickel and they ran right through it. And that's just overthinking it. I think that's just trying to be cute or, you know, like, you know, dictate play. It's just, here's a team who can't do anything other than run the ball. And you're lined up in a dime package. I know it's 3rd and 10, but you call dime, you know, they're going to run the ball on you because that's all they have. You can stop them in a base 4-3. I've been saying that all day today. You can stop the Patriots easily in a base 4-3. Watch what Denver did. And here we are talking about a game where we had to get a stop to win the game. This game, they shouldn't have scored more than 14 points, 17 points. The offense should have been able to easily handle this. I mean, the offense did enough, I would say. It's the defense is just, it's always going to be an issue. And I don't think I can take this anymore.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm going to put it on the coaching. I mean, The players, they're out there, they're playing play that the coaches want. Yes, they may miss tackles and all that. Yes, we can put it on them for being for missing tackles. I mean, on that touchdown run, Harris went through 3 tackles. Yeah, you can put the blame on them, but you put most of the blame on the coaches because they're telling you, right, this is the play we're going to run. Stick to it as it is. And then they keep playing it and not trying to adjust. I mean, you can see on offense, they adjusted a little bit on there, but I've yet to see Frazier actually be bolder in his play calling and actually change it up a bit because we seem to be doing the same thing over and over again. Just want to blitz, 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 blitz. And if that's all you're doing, majority of the time you're doing, it's going to be easier for the offensive coordinator, the opposition, to then go, okay, they're doing this. We'll make this slight adjustment here. Bang, boom. You've got a big running hole where you've got enough time to actually throw that ball downfield.
Yeah, I mean, blitzing Cam on passing downs really worked. But I want to criticize them about their decisions and personnel in the sense that game day inactives. Like, you should have an idea of who your best players are overall. If you're drafting players who are specialists, and some guys play some weeks and some guys play other weeks, how can you expect these guys to get in a routine of confidence? I mean, why draft Vanessa if you're going to have him on the inactive list? I mean, here's a position where we could have drafted a linebacker instead of fucking playing AJ Klein. I mean, McDermott says in his post-game press conference, you know, we believe in him. He's going to battle from this. And I'm just like, fuck off. And yeah, I'm just going to start dropping the F-bombs here. I mean, know who is the best player for the whole goddamn season. Not for the
exactly.
Okay. I mean, they're getting too cute with this shit.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those that's definitely going to be addressed in the off season. I mean,
but we need it now.
Yeah, I know. But
this is going to be a division winning team that loses in the first round of the playoffs again because because there's no depth on defense and there's $1 billion spent on a defensive line that doesn't work other than Jerry Hughes.
Yeah, I know. I mean, obviously they've got the trade deadline. I mean, I've gone through. Beforehand, I went through and see who's still available. Obviously, they've still got Darren Lee, which I'm assuming that they're making the signing for. Yeah. Nothing's been announced yet for him. But other guys they've got on there, they've got Alex Ogletree, Nigel Bradham, Clay Matthews, Terrell Suggs. They're all still available on there. They're getting on a bit on there.
Yeah.
Next year is even harder to actually try and pick someone. I mean, you've got a trade deadline. Where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? Are you going to go with, you're going to try and trade for an offensive lineman, a linebacker, cornerback?
Me, I mean, if you're asking me, if I mean, fuck, I don't know. It just seems like there's so much that we need to do now. I mean, we need to ship out money on the D line. We need a third linebacker. We need a third corner, and we need offensive line depth.
That's why I say
most teams' list isn't that short, so it's good. I keep going back to this. I'm trying to stay confident and positive about a 6-2 team, but all I can focus on is things to complain about. I don't want to be in this mindset, but it's so hard to not, right? I mean, there's so much that this team has to clean up to make me feel like we could beat Seattle next week or Arizona. If we go into both of those games and lay a fucking goose egg, I mean, I'm sure we probably won't put a zero down, but I mean, if they're both duds, if we get annihilated on defense, and if Josh can't go for 303 touchdowns again, it's just going to be a situation where like, hey, Miami's on our fucking heels. What are these guys going to do?
I mean, that's why when I said earlier, it's going to be addressed in the offseason. It has to be addressed in the offseason regardless.
Yeah.
You've got till Tuesday for the trade deadline. Doubt there's anything's coming in. So you're just going to be scouring that free agency wire to try and bring those guys in. Then you've got the COVID protocol that they've got a quarantine for a certain amount of days before they come in. So you won't get them for that week. They may be a bit too rusty for that. It's hard. That's why trades have happened earlier on in the season. Mm-hmm. So when it gets to times like this, you can actually have them actually learn the playbook, learn a bit more, and get a bit match sharpness. It's at the end of the day, it's going to have to be working off your feet, off what you've actually got on there. And yeah, I'm hoping that they bring in Darren Lee because he would be better in that squad, in that template than Klein. I mean, even I'd give Metkovic a run out.
I hope so. I mean, here's a guy who, you know, first round pick got cut because he wasn't producing. Inactive for the Super Bowl with Kansas City. So it's not even like Kansas City, you know, used him in any sort of role. You know, you mentioned COVID. I mean, let's talk more about the game. You mentioned the COVID list. I mean, look at who the Patriots lost and who they didn't have. I mean, I want to say if they have Chung and Hightower in and Gilmore, I think the Pats probably easily win this game because we wouldn't be able to run on a team that has those three guys on their defense.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, I mean, this game.
So what do we have then? If we, you know, I mean, sure. It is, I hate this phrase, but I keep saying it so often lately. It is what it is. We beat the team that was in front of us and that's all that matters. I'm waiting for that game where we beat a team and everyone's like, oh shit. Okay, Bills. I see you. But we beat a 2-4 team that's the worst passing offense in the league. And we got run all over, you know, so it's not like, you know, they're going to run the ball and you couldn't stop it on that Cam Newton touchdown. You know, he's going to run the ball and you can't fill your gaps properly. I mean, come on.
Yeah, no, I get it. I mean, there is a lot that we need to figure out and sort out. It's just how are you going to try and get, you've got to do one thing. You try and work on one thing, focus on that. You're going to then lose something else. It's a fine balance on how to do it. I mean, it is, injuries are not helping us at all. I mean, I'm assuming Edmonds is still having issues with his shoulder.
Yeah. I don't obviously know what it was when he was down. I couldn't tell.
It was his knee, I think.
Where is it?
May have actually either gone over in his knee or when it was planted, someone fell on top of it, something like that. That hasn't helped having those two out. But obviously, if we had those in on the games that we lost, we probably would have actually either gone close or we wouldn't have been blown out, especially in the Titans game. But
yeah.
It's just trying to, this is why I keep saying it's a coaching thing. You know what you've got to try and work around that. You can't have you can't call the same plays you have for Edmonds and Milano as your linebackers when they're both out. You have to find another way to do it, because are you really expecting Klein, Andre Smith to be a Edmonds and Milano straight up?
Right, of course not. I mean, all right, so you're talking about coaching, and they need. We're through 8 weeks now, and nothing has changed.
Yeah,
I mean, what do you think is going to happen then? I mean, clearly it looks like nothing is going to change. It's they're ride or die with what they have. Bean's probably not going to make a move because their cap, you know, you know, they're tied to the cap. Nobody's going to want to take an Addison or a Quentin Jefferson contract. So you're thinking scheme is the way to fix this, but where's it been? I mean, this has been a shit defense all season. So where's the changes?
Yeah, that's why you put on a coach. I mean, obviously the loss of Dodson, I'm assuming he's out for, is he out for the season or not? I can't remember, but okay. The loss of him actually hurts, because if he was still around, I don't think Clyde would see the field that much.
Yeah. We got to get you a Dodson jersey, because I mean, that's been your guy all season, right? I mean, come on now.
Give me a Zimmer jersey. So I'm actually high on him as well. Give me a Cam Lewis jersey. I'm high. It's the youngsters really that come in that have got stuff to actually prove, and they're showing more hungry than obviously the veterans. I mean, Klein came in.
I don't know
in.
About hunger. It's just like because I know that we got guys in the wrong position. I know like Jefferson's in the wrong spot sometimes. Addison's in the wrong spot sometimes. It's just they're just doing what they can to fill spots. It's just so frustrating because, I mean, just pick a guy, like have a starter, have a backup, and just go with it. I mean, I know that's rudimentary, but honestly, I think that this defense needs to get back to the basics.
Yeah, I think it's with Milano. I think it is. They're still trying to work him way back in injury-wise. Because, I mean, yes, a hamstring injury is something that you've got to manage. And having him, if you had him on 100% snaps both last week and this week, and obviously everything that goes on, trying to get him to cover, that's going to cause more issues. So I kind of see why they're rotating him in slowly.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, a lot of people were talking about where's Milano in the first half. And I get it.
Yeah.
I mean, you got a lot more season to go. This game was important. They won it, thank God. You know, these next two games, they're important for how we look, but not in terms of, because all you gotta do is win the division.
And that's it.
But honestly, if we're the worst division winner, then it looks like we're playing Baltimore. Shit.
No, they didn't have it easy. They didn't have it easy.
No, I know. I mean, can this team beat Baltimore? I don't think so.
You never know. I mean, who would have thought Lamar would actually throw two interceptions?
Well, he's not that great of a passer. I mean, also the Steelers are the best defense in the NFL.
Yeah. So, I mean, last time we played Baltimore, we kept them close, didn't we? We had that game
plan to
take Lamar out. We lost, I think, last few minutes of the game. So we can run them close, and Lamar, as we know, is only really good at the moment with his legs. I haven't seen the game yet, so I don't know what the two interceptions were like.
A lot of mistakes in the passing game, so that's a bit to see. I mean, Baltimore played Pittsburgh so close, and I mean, that Pittsburgh game later this year is going to be like unbelievable for what it means in terms of how we view this team. It'll be a little late for sure. I think we'll have a good idea by then. I think we have a good idea now of what team this is. This is a team that when Josh is on, that's the most important thing. We need Josh to be on because we got to score 32 points against good teams. And right now we really haven't played very many good teams, and we've played some bad teams pretty close. And it's just not comfortable. A lot has to come up. A lot is going to show in the next 2 weeks. Luckily, Seattle's defense is bad, so hopefully Josh can get things going. Let's get a good weather game, Buffalo, please. You know,
I mean, is there any, before we go to the fans' questions, because I know they've been piling in and we've actually had to really streamline it a little bit, so we may not get around to answering everyone's question this point in. Is there anything else on the bad side that really you want to get off your chest?
I mean, Josh Allen's stat line is ugly, but I think it's just due to the way that we called the game. I mean, it was all about running the ball. So, you know, the national media is going to say Josh had a bad day. 60%, I believe he was.
61.1%.
No touchdowns. So that's ugly to the national media. So that hurts because, you know, we love that Josh has been a darling this year. But I mean, other than that, I don't know. They did enough for me offensively because the running game was what I needed to get good, and they looked fantastic. I would have liked to see more Beasley. John Brown clearly just not 100%, so that kind of hurts. My biggest criticism, honestly, not so much on this game, is just what this team has looked like all season. And that's on Bean for building an overpaid defensive line that's underperforming and not using that money to get good depth other places. So I'm really just frustrated about that. It's just, you have a 2-4 team who sucks on offense and you let them march on you at the end of the game and you get I'm going to call it a lucky fumble. I mean, all the kudos in the world to Zimmer for making that play. It's not like Cam bobbled it or anything. He punched out that ball. Zimmer made a great play, but they were marching easily. And thank God for Zimmer in this sense. So,
yeah, I think,
aren't you sick of talking about the defense? I want to just move on and do the fan questions and get this show over with because I'm so sick of talking about the goddamn defense.
I think that's going to be the main talking point throughout the season on that. But
God we don't do this every day, you know, like those radio hosts in Buffalo do. So,
but then it's a case you got hold out for 2 weeks. You've got the bye week, get everyone healthy. Hopefully we'll have some new pieces, whether it be free agency or trade, that can come in, get a couple of weeks to acclimatize, have the bye week, and then go for the long run.
Yeah,
I think at the moment it will just be a case we'll be talking about it for quite some time. But as I say, we get to the bye week. Anything can happen after that. We'll have an interesting run of games, some easily winnable, some not. But we'll go from there. I mean, the off season is going to be the crucial part of the season, how Bean manages the cap and obviously the draft itself. So.
But we talked earlier in the year, like Super Bowl was never an option this year. Obviously, we want to get a playoff win. But so you're saying one more offseason and we better be contending, right?
Yeah, I think this offseason is the must do. I mean, we spent that load in free agency on the D-line. I mean, it's more than likely they're potentially going to let Trent go at the end of the season. He's actually free agents, that's cap space there. You're probably gonna see Winters go, they may sign someone else, but
I mean,
at the moment they're like 6 million
four
cap space left,
yeah.
So, trading and
we had a lot of it, and then we literally spent all of it in one season, so.
Yes, and I mean, obviously, he's got to figure in a way of getting Milano to restructure. I mean, if we can get an extension from Milano, not waste up too much money. And I say that's why Murphy is probably going to go. Winters is probably going to go. Josh Norman may go. Aged up some more. But we spent 2 years working on the defense, actually getting the pieces in place. As I say, there's a couple more pieces left. We spent the offseason on the offense. I'm happy with. I think.
Yeah, I'm happy with the offense too. It's just didn't this offseason, it felt like we filled the holes that we lost through Zoe, Shaq, and Phillips. It felt like we filled that. But it, apparently, I mean, we didn't. That's been just like the biggest pill to swallow. I mean, go ahead. Anything else on the game, though? I mean, in terms of reviewing the Patriots game, we're basically just reviewing the Bills season as a whole. We've been doing that a lot, and it's just like, it just seems like, you know, well, over the last 2 weeks, there were wins against teams that you're supposed to beat. And I mean, let's talk for just a minute how big it is to beat the Patriots in a game that right? I mean, do you want to say, you want to clearly say, you know, passing the torch, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's in a way, I said it would be a statement game. Kind of is a statement game. The fact that regardless of who got put out, who were up against, that it was a statement game. We won. Let's roll into Foxborough and in December and do it again. Then, you know, the torch is finally finally passed. But it's
well, we talked it about, I posted on Twitter, it's like, it's important for McDermott to have a game where he like at just at least coaches as good as Belichick. And Belichick really blew it on that onside kick call. I mean, ballsy, dangerous, but also at the same time, I think Belichick knows what he has and he's coaching to that. That's why they kicked a field goal on third and one instead of trying to take a shot for the end zone. I mean, they just don't have the personnel. This is the best year to kind of overcome the Patriots. You know, hopefully they don't get a quarterback in the offseason. It's just every time we feel like we take a step forward, like we take a step back. I mean, we were able to kind of control them all game. And then in the fourth quarter, we just let them run all over us and get back in the game. We would score, then they would score. We would score and they would score. And then we dropped, Gabe Davis drops that touchdown. And that's such a massive heartbreaker. Like, I was literally sitting on my couch, like, here we go. They're marching. You know, I mean, how did you feel at that moment? Loss was coming? Or did you think, I mean, I have no hope. I have no trust that our defense will make a stop when they need to. They did. They did today.
Yeah.
But I mean, I want to see them stop a team first down, you know?
Yeah. There's always, I always have that little bit in the back of my head that say someone may come up, make the play. And usually they do. I mean, fourth quarter, it seems not, it's not just a Josh Allen show. It's the defense seems to show up in the fourth quarter as well. So back of my mind, yes, there was part of me that actually said, Tom's going to make a big play, turn it over. But yeah, part of me was actually thinking, let's hold it to, we may get a draw, we may go into overtime, we might lose on there. No. And then I'm there thinking, great, we're going to have a very fun podcast. But no, it's a win. We move on. We've got Seattle, who are not having it all their own way against the 49ers at the moment.
What's that look like?
And then Cardinals. I mean, the Seahawks, there's Russell Wilson's 13 for 15, 155 yards. They're 13-7 up, missed extra points. Mm-hmm. And all that, but no, I'm
Horkas had a bad day today too, as well. I mean, he gave the Pats good field position pretty much throughout the game.
So. Yeah, I mean, with that, you have to factor in the wind. Yeah. So obviously, the two times he gave him good field position, I think two times they gave him good field position. I think he was kicking into the wind. Yeah. I think so. That you kind of, I want to make you.
We've seen him boom it before, and you know it would have been nice, but that's all the time that we're going to spend on kicking.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get.
I'm going to get the kickers on the podcast if we can have a whole podcast episode of kicking.
Yeah, they'll probably, you know, I don't know if I can handle that, but let's get these questions. Let's get to your questions. Jackie writes in. My question instantly is when is Milano back to full strength? And that's a really important question. I wish you could be able to have depth so you can bench him to get fit.
Yeah.
But we don't have that. So honestly, probably not until the bye week, after the bye week, right?
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. It's bye week or anything. They're going to manage him for the next few games. I mean, the Seahawks, they don't really have a run game at the moment. So obviously, they have Wilson. They'll need someone to cover him and all that. But it's not something really that worry too much in the run game. And Cardinals haven't got... I don't know if Drake's going to be back or not for it, but maybe that's the game where you wish he'd actually be fully fit for, because you've got Murray who will run.
Yeah, for sure.
And you've got an offense on there that would need a Milano, I think. And So in the Seattle game, I've not seen much of Tyler Lockett. What I've really seen is Metcalf.
I mean, they got two world beaters, so you know.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson's playing unbelievable, but she also asks, what was wrong with Ryan Bates to keep him out instead of one of our awful guard reserves? When Morse goes out, they bring Bates in, right?
Yeah.
And then we score a touchdown on that drive, but then they flip it with Feliciano. I like Feliciano better at guard, but I mean, they still were able to run no matter what. We just gotta hope that we get Ford, back sooner. It'll be interesting to see what'll happen next week, where Feliciano will play guard or center.
It was a quote. I'm gonna steal this bit from a quote I heard when I was watching a post game show on soccer, football for us, English, where they said the only reason that a couple of players are playing because one of them was actually sleeping with the manager's daughter. Now, part of me just wanted to say why they dropped Bates for Winters, for example, is probably because Winters got something on McDermott that he's been holding him to ransom. Something like that, but no.
If this was a TV show about the Bills, but honestly, I just think that this coaching staff gets too cute with matchups. Identify who your best player is and play them, and that's what I want to see.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could go into depth about why Bates was actually taken out straight away after that series. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, Feliciano played well at center. Don't get me wrong, but you'd rather have McGuard have Bates as your center.
Yeah. Steve asks, since he signed the massive contract, how many times have you heard Tre'Davious White's name be called? Can't remember even once tonight. Obviously, the interceptions aren't there. When he does make tackles, you're seeing him out of position. It's such a position that if you don't hear his name, you know, like we said, it's good. The interceptions haven't been there. Early on in the season, I saw him get beat a bit. He was really, out of position on some receivers a few times earlier in the season. But honestly, you want to say over the last 2 weeks, you know, he hasn't been a problem. But then again, we've played probably the two worst wide receiver cores in the NFL over the last 2 weeks. Next week is going to be a big test for Tre'Davious White. So watch that Hopkins matchup. That's going to be, Lockett or
Metcalf. They're going to put.
Is going to be Trey White is, time to earn that money, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I get it. I'd rather them not call Trey White's name at all during a game. Yeah. Means he is earning his money. But I also want him to call Trey White's name when he's made that play or that interception that actually says, you've actually got this amount of money. This is what I can do with that amount of money. And you were right to give me that money.
Yeah. So we got the Glasgow Buffalo Bill. What the hell went wrong between this season and last with our D? Obviously, big question here. We talked about this all year. So go for it.
Injuries. That hasn't helped. Obviously, the loss of Star, that's definitely been a big loss on
the run game. Yeah.
I mean, he's the one that... Okay, we didn't put up the stats. People started moaning about him last year. He wasn't put up the stats, but he was
a
critical factor in the run game. We had, and obviously Jordan Phillips actually played well with Star in the lineup next to him. So if they had Star in, Ed Oliver probably would have been having a breakout game.
Yeah. Yeah, Ed Oliver again. Ed Oliver had so many instances where he beat his block, but Cam just sidestepped him. I mean, I got to imagine for Ed Oliver, it's really frustrating because he knows what he's capable of doing and he's doing well. He's just not getting those, you know, score stats. So not time to dog him.
So injuries is one. Depth would kind of come under injuries as well, but also in its own right, that they've got the depth in certain positions, they're struggling on others. Talent evaluation, so put on the scouts. They actually scout these free agents. They scout these draft prospects all year. They should be finding people that actually will play on that in that scheme and would be a good fit. I think at the moment we spend big money on Klein, Metakovic, mainly Metakovic for a special teams play. You give them a one-year deal.
Supposed to be special teams players, you know.
Yeah, and then the last one is the coaching scheme. The coaching, because again, you're doing the same thing over and over again. The offense are knowing what you're going to do and can make the adjustment. There's no adjustments much in game. The only times we've seen adjustments is come out at halftime.
I mean, you can also look and see who the Bills defense last year played. That was probably the softest schedule I've ever seen in terms of the quality of quarterbacks you're playing. But the teams that had quarterbacks, New England twice, Cleveland, Philly, Baltimore, all those teams easily beat us. So there you go. I mean, this defense really balled out against some really great opportunities last year. I mean, they held the Jets to 10 last week, right? And that was the defense that we saw last year. So I mean, we're just really good at beating bad teams, I guess. Jonathan Harden asks, should Moss be the number one running back? Also, you know, I don't know if this is your secondary Twitter account, but how damn good is Zimmer?
No, Zimmer is good. He's, as I say, he's come up and made the plays. He's bounced around loads of different teams. He initially came in as a undrafted free agent with the Bills. For it, it's the athleticism and raw power that he has combined, which is allowing him to do this. I mean, I've seen rave reviews coming out of college on what he can actually do. I've seen rave reviews about him and just how he can actually make the plays and actually go into the games. I wish it was my second account. Maybe I should make up a Justin Zimmer fan club.
Talk about the running backs though. I mean, I'm happy with Singletary Moss being 1A, 1B. You're not going to see either one of these guys, you know. It's gonna be a hot hand approach, and they're both gonna get the ball. If we have 20, 22 carries a game, it's gonna be right down the middle.
Yeah, no, definitely.
And I'm fine. I mean, you're fine with that, yeah?
I'm fine with that, yeah. I mean, it gets to a point where one of Moss's runs, they had both Singletary and Moss in the backfield.
I love that stuff like that. That really gets the defense guessing.
They need to play more of that. They need to get more of that. But I could potentially see Moss actually being the 1A carrying on into the season. So I think he offers a tiny bit more at the moment than Singletary. Not to say that Singletary is actually is regressing or anything like that, but I think with Moss, he brings just a little bit more. And he's been, in the last couple of weeks, he's been on a little bit more of a better run than Singletary. So I can see him being 1A.
I would love to argue that. I think that Singletary is the better pass catcher. He's the better, blitz pickup guy. He's better vision. They're very, for the size, you would think Singletary is the shifty, Moss is the bruiser, but Moss can cut and Singletary knows how to get it. So I think we have two really decent above average running backs, and there is no specialty there. They both can get it done. They both got it done today.
Yeah, I mean, that's I kind of agree. I mean, obviously Moss is out for three, four weeks or so, so we haven't really seen the full potential.
Well, we did.
And if we had him, if we had him in those games, it yeah. could have been a lot. It could have been a lot different. But right. it's going to be an interesting one to watch. But it's good that we've got them both healthy and both fit, that they can be the A1 and A2.
Yeah. Craig Lovesy asked and then retracted, why can't we beat the Patriots? So there was clearly a lot of panic on that final Patriots drive, myself included. I was in my defeated pose. We did. We won. And we got another game. Yeah. And let's hope that one is a little bit more dominant and,
ask me that question when we play them the second time.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's going to be really important to be able to beat them in New England again. So that will be the biggest statement game, because I think it's probably going to be an important game. So wait and hang on for that one. Jonathan Dilks asks, who is the best alternative to AJ Klein? I don't know, you, maybe? Me? Honestly? it's really tough. Anybody off the free agent heap? Please, anybody else. Honestly.
I would, at the moment, on what we've got in the team, no one.
Yeah.
At the moment. With, when he comes back, obviously Dodson. I think he is the one that is the better alternative on that. I mean, let's say it all rests on Darren Lee. If they can get him in, they've had him in once already. They've had him in a second time. Maybe they've signed him. Maybe they're just waiting for this whole quarantine period to actually happen before they physically announce him.
Yeah.
Who knows? But I think he would, if Dodson's out for a little bit longer, I will see Darren Lee actually come straight in and actually be in this and upgrade over Klein. But as I say, looking at the free agency wire, you've only got Bradham, Ogletree, Terrell Suggs. I did mention someone else, but I can't remember him. But they're all over, Clay Matthews, they're all over 30 or 30 or over. There's not really any youngsters unless you throw away a good pick for someone on the trade market.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, being swung and missed on Vosan Joseph, you know, it's really tough to think about, you know, the decisions that this front office and this head coach have made. For all the love and respect that we have to them for making the Bills, an honorable team in the NFL again, they've really, I mean, hitting on a quarterback is the most important thing. So they hit on a quarterback.
Yeah.
What else have they hit on? So let's, you know, we can finish that conversation in the offseason. Mark Phillips, if we are serious about going any further than the first round of the playoffs, we need to strengthen. Who can we realistically expect to be targeting before the trade deadline? My philosophy on NFL trades in midseason is that they don't work. So I honestly have put no work into thinking about that. You've mentioned some names. Do you really think that anything can happen?
No, I think they've got to weigh it up. They've got to weigh up. Do you want to throw a lot of picks at maybe a linebacker or another cornerback? Or do you save them, maybe bundle them up in the draft and move up in the draft? Mm-hmm. I mean, to be honest, I'd rather see them keep the lower end picks unless they can get a good player for a low pick. I'd rather see them keep most of the picks and actually just use them as ammunition to go up.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as I'd love to see them splash, I can't see them splash.
Right. I mean, A, because of the salary cap, and B, because...
Not so much salary cap. I mean, look at what the Chiefs have done with the salary cap. They signed Mahomes to a $500 million contract. They signed Chris Jones to a big contract. They signed a couple of guys to big contracts on there. and they had what, like a pound or dollar over under the cap.
Yeah, but I mean, they're not going to make a trade to mean, they signed Bell, but I mean, you know, it's just the way I see it is that the way I want to see what I want to see is a Minka Fitzpatrick like trade, like the Pittsburgh Steelers made last year. Target a team who's clearly needs to let guys go, and take their best player for a second or third round draft pick. I mean, obviously I know the Giants don't have anybody on defense worth a first round draft pick, but you know, find something, please.
Yeah.
Cause this defense needs it. But honestly, maybe even the best thing that this defense can do to strengthen is to change up scheme and sit down Leslie Frazier.
Coaching.
Be like, hey, Leslie, you're cut. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets fired, but I also wouldn't be surprised if he stays on all season. Cause I just know that McDermott probably doesn't want to, you know, ruffle the feathers like that, you know? Dan Smart, where's the defense gone from the last couple of seasons? Star Latulule, a massive miss. Yes. Clearly on the pad, on the rush defense star, but I think the biggest thing that people need to wrap their head around with our defense is we played no one last year.
Yeah. Yeah. No? I think we've answered it already.
We don't really need to talk about too much about defense now. I mean, look,
Star's a big miss. Injuries.
Yeah.
Scheme.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I really want to say that, like, you know, Addison for Shaq and Jefferson for Phillips. And I mean, Lorenzo Alexander being a huge miss there. We haven't replaced him. But honestly, I just think it's because we're playing much better teams this year. You know, we held the Jets. Look at that. But I mean, the Rams were able to get back in that game because they're a good team. The Dolphins I mean, they're a good team. Look at what they're doing. You know, Kathleen asks, so the next two games are Seahawks and Cards. What do you got? 2-0, 1-1, 0-2. What are you thinking real quick?
1-1.
Same, and I won't say who or why.
It's going to be going to beat Seattle, lose to Arizona.
I'll take that. Seattle's the better team, even though the Cardinals, right, just beat them, right? I mean, two really good teams, and I don't care who we win. As long as we go 1-1, that's really the most important thing.
I've just realized I did play Zach Moss in my fantasy league.
Hey, there you go. Congratulations on your fantasy team.
Yeah, and Hilaire only got me 6 points.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting thing. I mean, it doesn't matter. Let's not talk about the Chiefs. Your Bills are 6-2, guys. You know, try and enjoy it for what it is. This podcast definitely had the tone of one of a game after a loss, and that bothers me. I feel like I need to do a little bit of soul searching to find that optimism. 6-2 going into some games with the bye week coming up, a firm grasp on the division. That's it for me. It's a sigh of relief for that victory.
But it's a good relief on that. I mean, I put a tweet as well. This is the angry optimist. That is the sarcastic pessimist.
Yeah, I don't want to be. I want to really feel good about the 6-2 team, but our point differential is -1. That's not a Super Bowl contender, and I want to be. You know, I mean, the process, right?
Yeah,
like we're at that level.
The new hashtag I think they had at the beginning of the season was find a way.
Well, this defense needs to find a way to tighten up.
Every game they found, apart from the losses, they found a way to win.
Right. Yeah.
Their mantra.
They found a way to the mantra. They found a way to win 6 games.
Exactly.
They didn't twice. That's really good. Let's just focus on that. You know?
Yeah.
So that's it.
Okay. So then let's sign off then. So if you keep subscribing and following us on all our social networking channels, YouTube channel at Buffalo Bills UK, RWBB underscore podcast at UK underscore Bills, Buffalo Bills UK on Facebook. Join up, ask people in the chat group. A lot of fun going on in there, even though sometimes I rip my hair out with some of the questions on there. But get involved, keep following. Let's get this support up. We're edging closer to our 100th episode, which is going to be fun. Yeah. But no, keep showing a lot of love. So if there's anything else you want to add,
yeah. For anybody still listening, rock that retweet button. Retweet our posts. Retweet our YouTube. Post about it. Share it. Let's build and grow the Bills Mafia in the UK and the thing.
And on that note, it's a good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. This is Matt. That's Alex saying, go Bills.
Go Bills.
Not us.
Yeah, not us.
You don't know anything about heart. You don't know anything about work. Yeah. Huh?
That's who we are.
Bills on three. One, two, three.